If you have your Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, or I mean 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Lord tells us in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We see down in verse 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." When you think about mankind and who you are, does it, and I'm going to mention something that I mentioned Sunday morning, do you understand who you are in Christ? Do you understand what it's all about? One of the main things that I think is missing in the church today is the people of the church, the members of the church, the people are God's people, really don't understand who they are. They don't understand the greatness, the reality that they are the heirs with Christ. That they are the royal priesthood. They're the chosen ones. Do you understand? You're the elect. The children of God. The adopted. The chosen. I mean, doesn't that just thrill your soul when you think about it? That ought to just excite you when you realize, I'm a child of the King. I'm a son and daughter of God. What a great privilege you have. And you know, we're kind of losing our identity in this world because everybody wants to tell us we're animals. You know, the world wants to continue to tell us that we evolved over millions of years. But you need to understand how important and how special you are to God. We need to understand how special we are to God. I mean, God didn't make us like every other creature on the face of the earth. He didn't just speak and you were done. He molded mankind with His own hands and He breathed in the man the breath of life and man became a living soul. He gave man something He didn't give anybody, any other part of His creation. He gave mankind choice. A choice to follow Him because they want to follow Him. You have the great privilege, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to be called the sons and the daughters of the King. Yeah, we have a world today. Think about the world around us. It's been said that today people will stand for nothing but fall for everything. People will stand for nothing. We don't want to stand up. We don't want to be heard. We don't want to tell them how we feel. But we fall for so much when people talk to us. You've probably seen the visual. You remember the visual. Is the water hot enough out there? Out in the world, is it hot enough for you? When somebody swears, does it bother you? Does it hurt your heart? It ought to. You see, in the world that we live in, there's so much of this garbage, the words that are used and the movies that are out there and all the books and the magazines and all that garbage, that so many of the Christians have gotten so insensitive to the Word of God. We became insensitive to what the world is doing, the world's words. And so it doesn't bother us anymore. You know, if you put a frog in hot water, bang, he's out of there. Why is that? Because it hurts. It hurts. And he's out. you put a frog in cold water and slowly turn up the temperature, and that frog will die in that water, won't he? I mean, he'll sit there and he'll get used to it. He'll get used to it. He's cold-blooded. He gets used to the temperature around him. And he dies in that water. And you know, I think what's happening to our world today is that Christians are dying in the water. We don't feel the pain out there anymore. So we have, many times we have people give us a video and they say, oh, you gotta watch. This is really incredible. The message is amazing. And I say, let me ask you a question. Is there any swearing at all in that movie? And then they have to think for a minute. You know, already I'm scared. See, I don't need to put my kid's head in a garbage can for them to know what garbage smells like. My job in the home is to keep them shielded from that. And you say, well, you're not going to shield them from that forever. You're right. In the world, it's out there. And they're going to run into it. I understand that. But I don't have to force it on them. I don't have to turn on the TV and have them hear the swearing. And I don't have to, you know, I don't have to watch the movies that have swearing in it. My kids don't need that. Your kids don't need that. In fact, you don't need that. We need to become more sensitive to what God has chosen us to be. We need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to be able to put it all together. Remember the biblical warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. And not after Christ. With that, let's give this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time. Thank you for those who have come out tonight. I pray that you might bless them, encourage them, help them to understand the reality of who they are in Christ. Maybe if there are some that are not in Christ, Lord, they too would wish to be a part of that great plan, that family of God, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior tonight. What a blessing that would be. Lord, I pray that you might encourage and nourish us tonight with your word. And we thank you for all you'll do. In Christ's precious name, amen. The main point is the evidence overwhelmingly supports the biblical view that man was directly created directly by God and in His image. Man was created by God in His image. So I'd like us to look tonight at what we were thought to be, and what we have become, and what we need to become. Is the water hot enough out there for you to feel the pain of what the world is out there for us? Scott Hughes wrote, "What a person believes about his or her origin will condition that person's lifestyle and affect his ultimate destiny." Do you get that? What a person believes about his or her origin will condition that person's lifestyle and affect his ultimate destiny. Now, if you believe, what Scott Hughes is trying to get across here is if you believe that you evolved over millions of years of time, then you have no purpose. There's no meaning to life. There's no reason to be except what you give yourself. But since God created you, since that is a true statement that God created life and He created you, then He has a reason for you to be. There's meaning to your life. There's purpose in your life. Why is it the second leading cause of death of teenagers is suicide? You know, they find that boyfriend, that girlfriend, that job they always wanted, and then it all falls apart. And what do they say? I might as well kill myself. I have no purpose. And God is reaching down from heaven and saying, no, no, don't do it. All ye who are heavy laden, come to me, and I'll give you rest. God desires that we would have peace, that we would understand what it's all about. There's only two options. Either there is a God or there isn't a God. There's no maybe God. Evolution teaches that in the beginning there was always death. Death, struggle, disease, corruption. From the very beginning, it was always being destroyed. It was always being corrupted and death was there and struggle and all the way up. And then through the survival of the fittest, man came into being. And yet, we know, according to the Word of God, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days He created the heaven and the earth. And through choice, man's choice, death, struggle, and disease came into being. It's all backwards in the world. It's all upside down. It makes no sense. We look at some of the stages that have been drawn on the basis of very little evidence. A few teeth, a jawbone, some leg bones. However, they tell us experts can figure out a great deal about what a whole animal looked like by studying these few remains. So they tell us about 30 million years ago, Pliopithecus came on the scene. And Pliopithecus, over millions of years, turned into Dryopithecus, and Dryopithecus into Ramapithecus, and Ramapithecus into Australopithecus, and Australopithecus into all those other Pithecuses. There's a chart. The chart below is a part of a display called The Evolution of Man at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City. And it describes all the brain capacities. From the littlest one up, the gibbon with 97 cc's, chimpanzee, 400 cc's, cubic centimeters of space up there. Gorilla, 500, Australopithecine, 600, Homo erectus, 900, Neanderthal, 1625. And now we come up to Homo sapiens and they got us at the top at 1400. Now wait a minute, something's wrong here. Now what'd they do with this? Why'd they do it this way? Because in their mind, the Neanderthal are a primitive, brutish, subhuman, right? But look at the brain capacity. Some of them are on the average of 1,740 cc's. Man's average today is 1,450 cc's. They were a brilliant people, a post-flood people, which we'll look at in just a little bit. The evolutionists reply to this chart. Listen to what they say. Let me assure you that no evolutionist believes that we came from monkeys or apes. Really? Then why are we on the same chart? Why'd you put us on there in the first place? If there's no relationship at all. No, that's not it. Be assured, we came from some transitional form that was ancestral to both humans and primates. So in other words, we came from the apes. Alright? I mean, that's really what they're saying. We both had the same transitional form. We both came from the same ancestor. Did they ever find that ancestor? Nope. That's a good answer. Good answer. Nope, that ancestor's never been found, but they believe it anyway, and that makes it a faith. Hebrews 11:1, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. No. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Unseen. We looked at Ramapithecus a few years ago when we were here. Ramapithecus, 1932. They found a 2-inch piece of jawbone. That was the original find. And they know, according to the report, they said, we know what this animal looks like. We know how this animal ate. We know what it looked like from head to toe. We know what its wife looked like. We know what the kids looked like. We know how they ate and how they lived. The report was, it was hundreds of pages, all about a 2-inch piece of tooth, or jaw piece. And then in 19, they found a few more pieces. In 1979, they found a few more jaw pieces, a few more teeth. And then they found out that it wasn't a, it was only in a, it was only a, an orangutan. Turned out to be an orangutan. So, we have a complete difference of all these animals. We know what they are now. Ramapithecus, they found out what it really was, but they still have it in the textbooks as the beginning of the evolution of man. Here's, Johansson. Johansson had gone to Africa on a grant to find a missing link. 2 weeks before his grant money ran out, they found Lucy. Now, Lucy was not found in a grave. Lucy was found on the top of the ground, where it had been eroding for thousands of years, folks. On the top of the ground. They were out there for weeks. 3 weeks of time, picking up fragments, little tiny fragments of bone, taking it back to the lab, gluing what they could together. And when they got done, they had Lucy. Scientists that I talk to say there's as many as 40 different individuals in Lucy. Lucy is a mosaic. Lucy, they actually found 25% of the pieces needed. 25% of the pieces needed. And they said they had 40%, but that's because they had this rib, so they just doubled it and said they had two both, and it was not really truthful. It was named loosely because of a song that was being played at the time, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by the Beatles. And if you look at the skull that they have of Lucy, this is the skull they show of Lucy. This is the fragments they had of Lucy. Pretty hard to put that together, folks, unless you use a lot of imagination. When you go to the museums, this model of Lucy was created from the fossil remains on the previous page there. Notice the complete hands and feet and how human-like they appear. No hands or feet were ever found. No hands or feet were ever found. But they gave them, you can't see it very well, but that's a human foot and that's a human hand. Here's St. Louis Zoo as Lucy on display with human hands and feet. But none of them were found. The purpose of this display is not for education, but for indoctrination. One of the things they found also was in the Laetoli Ash in Tanzania. They found 5 walkways of people. Modern human being footprints. Do you realize the footprint of a human is different than the footprint of an ape? Totally different. And they found these walkways of people. And so their idea was, it's at the same level as Australopithecus, so therefore, Australopithecines must have made these footprints. Because it's way back there. But there is a difference. There is a difference. Mary Leakey found these prints in 1978. Tuttle from the University of Chicago says that these 3.5 million-year-old footprint trails resemble those of habitually unshod modern humans. They're just like human feet. If he believes this, then why are they said to be of unknown origin? Tuttle gives us the answer. If the Laetoli footprints were not known to be so old, we would readily conclude that they were made by people. But since they're so old, they must be from Australopithecus. Then we came to Piltdown Man, the Piltdown hoax. And they had 4 years they had to have in order to put all the pieces together to make the Piltdown Man. They had one jaw, that's from 2 different angles, and that piece of the skull cap. And fooled the greatest paleoanthropologist for over 40 years. Over 1,000 doctorates have been written on Piltdown Man, and only one that I know of ever saw the original. Only one saw the original. Now, no other area of science would this be allowed. In fact, only a few of them even saw the casting of the original. Because when they find these things, they're just like gold, and they stick them in a vault, and they close them up, and nobody gets a chance to look at it. They write the paper, and they allow you to see what they want you to see in their paper. So what we have is this piece of the skull was found. That turned out to be human. And in 1953, they came out with a new fluoride dating method. They dated the bones. And this was only 500 years old, not 500,000 years old like they had told us. The jaw, this piece of the jaw that they have here, that turned out to be only as old as the year they found it. And it happened to be an orangutan jaw. And that fooled the great. They put all the rest of this, folks, is all imaginary. All the rest of it's imaginary. They had put iron salts over all the bones to make them look like they had the wear of man. The jaw teeth were actually filed down to make them look like they had the wear of man. Then one of the other ones that we had mentioned in the past was Neanderthal man. Actually, the first one was found in 1856 in Dusseldorf, Germany, in the Neander Valley. That's where it got its name, Neanderthal or Neanderthal. And Marcelin Boulay, depicted right, depicted Neanderthal as a semi-erect, brutish, subhuman. Put in the Smithsonian Institute like that, as a semi-erect, brutish, subhuman. And then in 1955, at an anatomy conference in Paris, Rudolf Virchow, considered the father of pathology, studied those bones and found out that this was a modern human being. The only thing wrong with him is he had rickets, which is a vitamin D deficiency. These are a post-flood people, a people that lived after the flood. They were there during the time of the Ice Age. These people being shielded from the sunlight because of all the particulates from all the volcanoes that went off. Shielded from the sunlight, living in caves, wandering for hundreds of years, living in caves. Folks, they ended up with rickets. We had the same thing happen in 1890, 1895, during the Industrial Revolution of England. All the kids were exposed with a vitamin D deficiency. They didn't get enough sunlight, and so their brow ridge gets thicker, and the more they're exposed, or not exposed, to the sun, the more deformed their bones get. In fact, all the bones soften and bend. So they look kind of crippled up, and that's exactly what it was. And then, conclusion today, in fact, in the Smithsonian Institute, they have Neanderthal now with a suit of clothes on. And he looks just as modern as you and I. You know what they did with the old one? They didn't throw it out. They put it up with the dinosaurs, and they have a label on it that says, this is an alternative to Neanderthal man. Why? Why? Now that we know the difference. And then one of my favorites, they found a tooth. One tooth, four angles of the same tooth. The tooth was found in Nebraska. And Henry Osborne of the American Museum of Natural History, I mean, this guy knows his stuff, right? I mean, he is the Henry Osborne of the American Museum of Natural History identified it as 100% anthropoid walking up ape man. His biggest problem? He couldn't figure out if it was an ape-like man or a man-like ape. Which is it? Later on, they found out that that tooth actually belonged to an extinct pig. And that's where the scientist had made a man out of a pig, and the pig had made a monkey out of the scientist. A number of different things. I'd love to spend all night just showing you all the foolish things that paleoanthropologists, people who study the evolution of man, have found. This is a skull that was found in Spain, promoted as the oldest example of man in Eurasia. It was later identified as a 4-month-old donkey skull fragment. A 3-day symposium to discuss horse man, and named for the town of southern Spain that was found in, was then canceled. Here's a dolphin's rib, had been labeled human collarbone and promoted as evidence for evolution. Evolutionist Tim White exposed the hoax. This has happened so many times, it's incredible that actually scientists would actually allow this to happen. So what we had in the past, back in the early, late 1800s, into the early 1900s, and through the 1900s, was Ramapithecus turned out to be an orangutan. Australopithecus turned out to be a tree-dwelling ape. Java man turned out to be a fraud. Piltdown man turned out to be a fraud. Nebraska man came from a pig's tooth. And Neanderthal man is 100% human. And people always say, now wait a minute, where are the best ones? Where is the best that they have? This is the best they have, folks. This is the best they had up to this point. Until the 1990s and into the 2000s. Boxgrove man came on the scene. Nature magazine, volume 389, May 28, 1994. And also in New Scientist, May 28, 1994, page 5. Boxgrove man was an eagerly reported fossil find from a quarry in Boxgrove, England. Many of the reports show an artist's reconstruction of what Boxgrove man might have looked like. This shows a newspaper article with an artist's reconstruction of this creature. So what was actually found? A piece of a shin bone. Not even a complete shin bone. Both ends were chewed off. It was only the middle section of shin bone. In spite of this, newspapers were able to present a picture of Boxgrove man. What he might have looked like. Is this a Neanderthal or a Nebraska man all over again? Why would scientists do this? We also had Australopithecus remedus, if you remember, out of Nature magazine and many others. New Scientist, this was one of the biggest fossil finds so far in the 1990s, receiving wide coverage in the media. Newsweek and Time both enthusiastically declared Australopithecus remedus to be the missing link everybody's been waiting for. They said it lived 4.4 million years ago. What actually did they find? It started with a tooth. A tooth in the badlands of Ethiopia. Paleontologist Jensua said that he was walking across the badlands of Ethiopia and saw a glint of a fossil tooth. And he said this, quote, "I knew immediately that it was a hominid tooth, a walking up ape man." And he also knew it was one of the oldest ones ever found. He hadn't even taken it back and studied it yet. That's pretty impressive that they could figure all that out just from seeing a glint in the ground. Makes you wonder what sort of preconceived ideas he and the rest of the team had when they started out on this expedition, doesn't it? Newsweek says that the team actually eventually found several teeth, arm bones, and parts of a skull and jaw that turned out to belong to 17 different individuals. So they got pretty excited. But the creation articles are much more revealing. It says they actually found 10 teeth in one spot, a couple of fragmented limb bones 270 meters away, two heavily chewed fragments of the base of a skull found 550 meters away, and a few other bits and pieces found on the surface of the ground where it had been eroding for thousands of years, up to a mile and a half apart. They put them all together and made Australopithecus remedus. Another one that was really fun was Australopithecus anamensis. Time says, again, I love that. Every new one they come up with, it's the best, right? This is the best. Time says this is the best evidence so far that the previously unknown species of hominid strode upright at least 4 million years ago. This new fossil find has been called Australopithecus anamensis by discoverer Mary Leakey, or Maeve Leakey. Time says the fossil find consists of a complete upper and lower jaws, teeth from several individuals, a piece of a skull, arm bones, and a leg bone. The science article is even more revealing. Lake Turkana is in Kenya. Lake Turkana is really, really, really big, hundreds of miles. On one side of Lake Turkana, they found a few fragments. And then a mile away, 250 feet lower in the rock, they found some more pieces. And they put them together with these. On the other side of the lake, hundreds of miles long, they found some pieces on the top of the ground. And about a half mile away, 200 feet down in the rocks, they found some more pieces. And they put all these together with all these together and made one more ape man. Now, according to evolutionary science, they ought to have been millions of years apart. And yet, they put them all into one. There's another one that was called Littlefoot. Two anthropologists discovered in 1994 four foot bones, which they called Littlefoot. The discoverers said this virtually settles the argument that our ancestors at that time were still partly in the trees. Another scientist claims that the ankle joint is very human. They didn't even have an ankle joint. But as you get out towards the toes, they get more and more ape-like. They didn't have any toes. Let's consider what they actually had. They had four foot bones. They found it in a gravel dump. All kinds of animal bones were found in there. They found four foot bones. Two of them were half chewed up. So they had two foot bones and two pieces of foot bones. And they put them together and made a whole new ape man and called it Littlefoot. Out of 25 bones in the foot. This was a new one in 2000. A new one in 2000, they came up with a name. The name means peace, Salaam. And it was a 3-year-old Australian Pithecus. This is the guy we're so excited about. I mean, when you think about, really, when you look on National Geographic or Discovery Channel, the one you're going to see up there the most on the picture is going to be Australopithecus. And they're going to make them look like they're 5'5" chasing down deer in groups. Every time you see an ape man on TV, don't they make it look like it's a full human being? The biggest Australopithecus that's ever been found is only 3 feet tall, folks. They stretched Lucy to 3'6", but there wasn't really enough to say that was truth. And even 6 inches doesn't help much. So 3 feet. Salaam, this Australopithecus, was less than 3 feet tall. The remains had been buried, get this, the remains had been buried in a flood. Salaam was found in northeastern Ethiopia in 2000. According to evolutionists, this animal is 3.3 million years old. They call it Lucy's baby. Now look what they found. I put all this together through a lot of research, but just, it's so telling. It really tells what there was. The skull, they found the skull, and what did they say about it? It was very ape-like. They found the inner ear organ for balance, and it was very ape-like. They found the hyoid bone. This tiny bone attaches to the tongue muscle and the voice box. This, again, was just as you would find in a chimpanzee. That's their own words. Whatever sounds afarensis made, quote, would appeal more to a chimpanzee mother than a human mother. Dr. Fred Spohr, professor of evolutionary anatomy at the University of College London, said that. They also found the lower jaw. It was just as you would expect in a young chimpanzee. All of the vertebrae from the neck, which was short and thick, just as in the great apes. And just below the torso, all of the ribs, both shoulder bones, which again resembled those of a gorilla, both collar bones, the right elbow and part of the hand, the fingers of the hand are long and curved, just as you would expect in a chimpanzee. Evolutionists already knew that the afarensis arms were long and dangled just above the knees. The upper body also is very ape-like. Both knees were found. Much of the bone shin and thigh bones were found. One foot is almost complete. The foot has not been excavated yet. Everything about it is ape, right? You know what they're saying? What they're saying is, but wait, when we finally get the foot out, then we'll know it was an ape man. Then we'll prove it. I am so excited about them getting that foot out. They found a new one they called Flores Man. It was in all the newspaper. It was on the TV. Flores Man, what they found, it was incredible. They said that this tiny 3'4" alleged evolutionary sensation was found on the Indonesian islands of Flores and regarded as a new species of human. It is said to be at least 18,000 years old, with a site dated up to 800,000 in a recent development. You know, the skeleton that they found came from the people that live on the island. The people that live there made those skeletons. And it's all come out now, but it's already been in all the papers. It's already deceived so many people. You wonder why they don't ever rebuke what they said before when they find out the truth. Evolutionists, a harmless belief? I don't think so. The false belief in living transitional forms resulted in a cruel incident many times over involving, at this time, a pygmy named Otabenga. In 1904, he was kidnapped from his wife and 2 children in the Congo and exhibited as an ape man in the St. Louis World Fair and then later at the Bronx Zoo. Put him right in to live with the animals. Fed him the same, treated him the same, or worse. And Otabenga ended up, because of the result of being caged and treated like an animal, Otabenga committed suicide. This happened many, many times over. In fact, even in the 1950s, they were still shooting aborigines to study their skulls in France. And what a terrible thing this is. Where did evolution end up? it ends up in racism. It ends up in a teaching that we're just animals and nothing more. Many people ask me, why don't we find any human bones? I wish I had the time. Folks, there have been 8,000 to 9,000 human bones found. Not only human bones, but the whole person, or much of the person. 8,000 to 9,000 people, modern people, have been found throughout the geologic column. How many of you have heard of those? Or do they usually tell you about the fragments they found that turned into ape men? 95% of all fossils that are found, folks, are marine life. 95%. Most of the remaining 5% are plants. It is just a fraction of 1% that are mammals. Human fossils are a minute part of that 1%. The key to fossilization is fast, deep burial. Consider the human response to the flood, which would be to get to higher ground. Eventually, these people were killed, but because of the lateness of their death, they would be buried deep enough. They would not be buried deep enough to preserve their fossils, so most of them would be gone. What we need to understand about mankind is that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And on the sixth day of creation, God made man. And He made man in His own image on the sixth day. One thing we need to understand is our purpose. Why we are here. Why did God place us here? What is our purpose on this earth? We need to understand, according to evolution's man, there's no specific purpose, merely an end result of evolution, intended for man's own pleasure, a link in the food chain. But according to 1 John, he tells us in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also shall fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons God has placed us on this earth is to fellowship with Him, to communicate with Him, to have a relationship with Him, and how important that is. Also, according to Proverbs 16:4, we were made for God. We were not made for ourselves. We were made for God. If we want to know the whole purpose of man, look into Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Hear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. What's the duty of man? To fear God and keep His commandments. And also, to give glory to God, Isaiah 43:7, even everyone who is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Yea, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And we were created for his pleasure. Revelations 4:11, for thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we were created for to have fellowship with him, made for him. Our duty is to obey Him and love Him, to fear Him, and to give glory to Him, to give pleasure to Him, and have dominion over the works of His hands. To have dominion over the works of His hands. One of the things that I've been studying recently, doing some research on the intelligence of man, and I think actually I had the wrong slides up at this time, but we have found electric batteries that go back 2,500 years that produce, batteries that produce 1.5 volts of electricity. They have also found well-tempered copper arrowheads in a silver mine in Colorado at a depth of 400 feet in solid rock. In June 1851, edition of Scientific America, they reported a beautiful metallic vase that had been blasted out of solid rock in Dorchester, Massachusetts. The vase was adorned with 6 flowers and inlaid with silver, but the rock was considered to be millions of years old. Whoops. That's not going to work, is it? The Ashoka Pillar of the Kupta Minor in Delhi, India, It is a 30-foot high iron pillar weighing 6 tons and has been standing there since AD 413 with no rusting. No rusting. How's that possible? It's like that hammer that we showed you earlier. A hammer that was made out of 96.6% metallic iron combined with 2.6% chlorine. We don't even know how to do that. We don't know how to put those metals together. Those don't go together. Chlorine and metallic iron. I've sent the analysis of that hammer to people around metallurgists around the United States, and they, where'd you get that? We can't make it. The hammer handle was dated at about 4,300 years, about the time of the flood. They were the people of the early earth were a very highly intelligent people. They found plates, bowls, vases that were skillfully made with an artist's artistic designs on them of a that reveal a sophisticated art form. I think I remember the Lady of Guadalupe that was found dated at 28 million years old, but she was a modern human. And recently, and I could go on and on, but recently they found that computer, analog computer that went down in the first century BC, that is just incredible, just incredible. I don't know if I have it on here, but I wanted to share something with you if I can even find it. Now that I've done this, I wonder if I might have put it in that other one. That's not it. No. Guess I won't find it. But it wasn't meant to be, I guess. But had some thoughts. But anyway, what's it all about? It's all about God. It's not about us, folks. You are His. Remember what He says in Genesis chapter 1. He says in chapter 1 in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female, created He them. And going back to Romans chapter 5, he says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Man is very special to God. Remember that relationship that he had originally. Man turned away from God. God never moved. God's still in the same place. And so God desired our fellowship so much that he sent his Son to die that we might live. He says in verse 11, or in verse 10, let's go back to verse 9, excuse me. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. He says in verse 17, for if by one man's sin, offense, death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He says in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What's it all about, folks? It's all about a relationship between you and the God of creation. You're not just another creature. You're not an animal. All the pieces out there either turned out to be ape or man. There's nothing in between. You're really a person. And God desires that relationship with you. From the beginning, it was meant to be that man would live forever. People cry out and say, Mr. Hansen, why did this have to happen to me? I was out in Iowa and this young lady, she was about 15, 14, I don't know, maybe 16, she said, Mr. Hansen, if God is such a loving God, if He's such a kind God, why would He allow me to have to go through this and this and this and this? Why is there cancer? Why is there so much disease? Why? I asked her a question. She was really directing much of it to herself and all the pain she'd gone through in her life. And I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sinned? She said, well, yes. Because one of the things she had said before that was, why didn't God stop it? Have you ever thought that? Why didn't God stop it? And I said, did you ever sin? She said, yes, I've sinned. I said, why didn't God stop it? Couldn't He have stopped you from sinning? Whose choice was it? Was it God's choice or your choice? She said it was my choice. That's the point, folks. God is going to allow you to make a choice. You can choose to sin, and He weeps. He doesn't want us to go into that sin. It breaks, if we can say it this way, it breaks His heart to see His people, His chosen ones, turning their back on Him. Remember what He said, when the wickedness of man was great in the earth and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It says, it repenteth God that He had made man. And it grieved Him at His heart. Can you imagine that incredible grief that He must have bore that day? I mean, here was man who He had created in His own image and His own likeness. And it was this man that turned his back on God and said, I want to go my own way, thank you. Are we any better? You know what we deserve? We deserve hell. Every one of us deserves hell. We do not deserve to walk on this earth. But God is a gracious God, isn't He? For by grace are you saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Don't be patting yourself on the back for what God is trying to give you or do for you. If you're here tonight and you have never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, don't blame it on Him. Choose. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If you're going to serve yourself, then you choose that. If you're going to serve God, then choose that. And when you choose God, then walk in His ways. You know, a lot of people say they believe this book. You know what? You don't really believe it if you don't do it. Right? If you're not doing it, you don't really believe it. You know what it says? It commands you to do this and this and this and this. If you believe that, you do it. But how many Christians just don't have time for God? I'm asking you to make a choice, folks. Whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, I'm asking you to make a choice. Choose what you're going to do with your life. You know what God wants for your life. What do you want for your life? As a Christian, what do you want for your life? Do you want to love Him with all your heart, soul, and mind? Do you want to get to know Him? Do you want to get to know His Son? Do you want the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to transform you? To change you? To direct you? To guide you? To show God's will? Now, first thing we need to do, isn't it? Is to be in His Word. We need to love Him enough to read His Word. We need to love Him enough to memorize His Word and to share His Word. And if you're here tonight and you really see a problem in your spiritual life, maybe it's time for us to get on our knees before the God of creation and repent and say, you know what, Lord, I blew it. I'm not where I need to be as a son and a daughter of the King. And if you're here tonight and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, you're not sure if you're even saved, don't leave. Today is this acceptable day of salvation. Today is the day that you need to accept the Lord as your Savior. And I ask you, if you're not saved, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from accepting Christ? Before the pastor comes up, I'm going to just ask anybody if you have any questions. Maybe I shouldn't do that yet. Maybe I think what we'll do is I'm going to have Pastor Brown come up. And I'm going to ask him to close the service. And if any of you want to stay and ask some questions, I'll give you that opportunity to ask some questions and I'll do that. But that way the people that need to get home can get home. But I want to thank you. While Pastor Brown's coming up, I want to thank you for your time and sacrifice to come out this week. You know, my wife and family are just a simple family. We're nobody special. And we have been so blessed by your church. All of you, as far as, you know, all the people that have been involved with all that was going on downstairs, all that was going on out here, we were just overwhelmed by the information that Steve and Carla put together for us, putting maps all together, providing all the food. And you guys have been just fantastic. I prayed every day the Lord would bless you for your sacrifice and for your love for our simple little family. But, you know, God's will isn't any different for us than it is for you. He just wants you to say, okay, I'll go your way. That's what He wants. Pastor, you come on.
Two ninety-eight, just before Nancy starts to play, you don't know for sure that you'll ever have a chance to trust the Lord Jesus Christ again. Nobody knows if they're going to have breath even this evening. A good friend of mine who rides motorcycle, like I ride motorcycle, thank God he protected him this evening, but a lady didn't look and change lanes and about took him out this evening. He's a blessed born-again believer. Nobody was hurt. Nothing happened, but it could have. And same thing with you folks. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I trust that the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. There's nothing in this world more important than knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Absolutely nothing. So as we have the invitation this evening, if you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, don't be so proud that you wouldn't respond to the invitation and come forward, and then I'll just have somebody take you to a room and share with you from the Scripture, answer all your questions, and you could trust the Lord Jesus Christ right here this evening and get it squared away. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Boy, you want to make sure that you're saved, because if not, the judgment will be, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you.